Welcome to Stories from the Realm. My name is Brian Hancock, and I'll be your storyteller. I'm very happy that you're joining me, and I hope that you will enjoy listening to these stories. This story is called A Serendipitous Piss. After we left Punta del Este on our way to the Caribbean, we stopped in Salvador, Brazil. The city is known by its more popular name, Bahia, and it's a throbbing, dynamic city of around 15 million people. It was the main South American port where slaves from Africa were dropped off, and the influence is felt in the culture, and especially in the food, which is quite delicious. We stopped for a few days to restock and top off the gas and water tanks. One night I decided that I wanted to go ashore and take a look around. None of the other crew wanted to go with me. We were anchored about a half mile from the dock area, so I took the dinghy and went ashore. There is a huge elevator that transports people from the dock area up to the main part of the city, which is called Pelerino Square. If you remember the Paul Simon album, The Rhythm of the Saints, that intense drumming on the first track was recorded in Pelerino Square. Combine the music with the heat and humidity and the poverty and the noise and the general chaos, and you know that you're in Brazil. The whole country has its own special beat, and I actually love it. I found a place to eat and had more than a few drinks, and around midnight made my way back to the dinghy, which was right where I'd left it. A strong wind had picked up and was blowing from the land out to sea. I took off on the dinghy, but after a few minutes the engine crapped out, and no matter what I did, I couldn't get it started again. Meanwhile, I was drifting out to sea. I was so focused on the engine that when I looked up again, I was well past the Murrin field. My next stop was Africa. I was well and truly screwed. When we sailed into Bahia a couple of days earlier, I'd noticed a platform anchored offshore. The fishing boats would tie up there and gut their catches before going into port. Purely by luck, it was right in my path, and I managed to hand paddle over to it. So now it was around 1 a.m. I was safe, but the platform was a disgusting mess of fish guts and, well, seagull shit. I should have just sucked it up and stayed there for the night, but it suddenly started to rain, and I was skidding around in the filthy mess. So I made a stupid decision. I decided that I would leave the platform and the dinghy and swim back to the boat, which was about a mile or so away, directly upwind. Now, I'm not a good swimmer, but I was desperate, so I swam in the direction of some lights, which I presumed were the lights of the boats at anchor in the mooring field. It didn't take long before I knew that I was really in a lot of trouble. There was no going back. I had lost sight of the platform, and the rain had chopped made going forward very tough. I was pretty sure that I was going to die. All I could do was keep on swimming, but I was drinking so much water and had no idea if I was making any headway. But I just kept on swimming. I don't know, but it must have been well over an hour when I started to hear the clanging of halyards against the masts, and I knew that I was close to the mooring field. By pure luck, the first boat I came to happened to be the Bulamanzi, which was our boat, which was my home. What had not occurred to me was that once I got to the boat, I wouldn't be able to get back on board. The sides were quite steep, and I was beyond exhausted. There was a line hanging overboard, and I hung onto it and tried banging the hull and yelling, but no one heard me. I was pretty much screwed, and I was quite sure that I was going to drown. I simply had nothing left. As it turned out, the crew that had stayed on the boat had had a big dinner and opened plenty of wine and opened the beers, and apparently had had a good time. My luck was that my crewmate, Pete Scram, woke up in the middle of the night needing a pee. He went to the back of the boat and peed overboard, and then he went back to his bunk. But something had bothered him. He'd heard a noise that didn't sound quite right. He tried to ignore it and go back to sleep, but he couldn't, so he got up to investigate and found me dangling, barely conscious, at the end of the line. Pete grabbed me and hauled me on board. And that's how I'm still here today to write this story. I hope that you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. The full story is in my first memoir, Two Bricks and a Tiki High. It's also called A Serendipitous Piss. I hope that you'll buy the book and read the story. And again, thanks for listening.